Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
General theology of this particular study on doctrine explores distinct doctrines, which are teachings, cultures, conduct, historical narratives given of Father God, illustrated in the life of Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This theology expresses the righteousness of God and superiority of Christianity, authority of scriptures that unite the current church to the Ancient of Age, that motivate all the world to conform into the kingdom of our God as a standard of existence. The purpose of studying doctrine is to obtain the knowledge of God, to understand the will of God, which empowers us to exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, as declared in the written word of God. It is our objective to explore doctrines and the avoided issues presented to every believer when embracing the reality of their Christianity and offer biblical resolves to the construction of doctrinal snapshots. Tonight we talk about the demand for depth, the demand for depth. God has embedded in every man or all of mankind to establish a basis of knowledge to govern their everyday affairs. So doctrine is the express language of our faith used to govern our Christian conduct, commitment, and courageous attempt to exist in constant states of righteousness. It explores the intentions of the will of God instinctively and documenting intellectually, whether by concrete evidence or documentation of heart, what God has designed the realm of our reality to govern. It leaves the greatest impression in our hearts that validates all aspects of what we all believe. Our belief becomes the compass of our actions. Thus, developing faith and character in mankind. So occasionally reviewing what directs our systems of beliefs that in turn defines our behavior resolves to locating places that are recognized for prioritizing the instituting of beliefs in higher matters of ethics and morals. In modern society, this evaluation of belief has been brought to other platforms outside of the church house and the personal households. The avoidance of such fundamentals, such as elementary doctrines of Christ, transferred to questionable, quote-unquote, newfound winds of morality, which led to erroneous liberality that resists all forms of actual authority and promotes the leading of influential customs and trends versus conformity to the will of God. God possessed the hearts of leaders in the ancients to heed to the voices of the prophets, to fulfill sovereign decrees and to keep the intents of his heart as laws that would govern people. Their willingness to keep their vows to Father God would create perpetual success that will protect their possessions and empower their prevail. We learn throughout countless historical biblical accounts or documentation that as long as they complied, they conquered. But whenever they were slight in their commitment to that which was known to them, it yielded the fruit of devastation. This devastation grew almost perpetual that the voice of God was silent until he allotted a balm in Gilead, the Lord Jesus, that would have healing in his wings, that would soar above the wind and well the earth again with the will of God manifested. Carried in the womb of Christ till victory was accomplished over sin was the church, which possessed the authority of God instinctively entrusted with such a better covenant established upon better promises, which would yield again the fruits of righteousness. Conduct then could once again be governed under the tutelage of God. Righteousness would promote the gospel of Christ that would lead men to repentance, a change of mindset that would transform them into the perfect intentions of God's willingness to render his love to humanity. Not only did he send the church out, but he gave his intellectual capabilities, his essence, he, the Holy Spirit, to afford true leadership. The church is to govern, which means that it is through the church's government that reformations, renaissances, and again, true states of righteousness would lead them to sustenance and sustaining reliance upon God to grow, glow, and go throughout the earth. However, to prevent damage among those who were gullible to distortion in development, there would need to be gifts placed within the church to serve as a reminder of the importance of staying within the scheme of God's will. So he gave those gifts objectives and placed them within men and women, which I believe shapes the authority of approaching this subject of doctrine. Refer to me to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16 for tonight's lesson. It states, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here we see 10 distinct purposes of those gifts being in operation of the church. And in the midst of those purposes, he gives one purpose to the objective of maturing people from infancy to in Christ to perfection in Christ that prevents them from being carried by every wind of doctrine. It is the declaration of the truth, along with the other facets, in the purpose of ministry gifts that leads people to understanding the love of God. So studying doctrine is essential because in doctrine there is a potential to take places you may have never been designed by God to experience. Allowing Father God to access your life in training your cognitive development, which is the developing mind taking account of actions that stem from beliefs developed over time, will give you an advantage in keeping aligned to God's divine will. At the heartbeat of all doctrine is the order of God. A major component to his order is understanding his will for our lives that gives us the motive to resolving righteousness as a means of existence, so that there can be simplistic approaches to existing in a lifestyle that pleases God. This study, as many questions as possible, posed to God as the means by which we should research, rehearse, and render doctrine toward all that are entrusted with our responsibilities and the gifts of ministry. Given that we are all given to the devotion and the instructions in scriptures, we will clearly esteem the Bible as the greatest source to affirm and reflect doctrines that outline the intentions of God's divine will for our lives and for humanity. In tonight's lesson, we will focus and amplify the purpose and objective of this particular teaching by offering five shaping focuses to developing dynamic doctrine. Number one, we need to establish this by establishing focus to obtain the knowledge of God. We must develop to focus in mind to go after the knowledge of God due to the essential notion that God has things for us to know that only he can reveal, which indicates that there are things that can never be achieved through mere inserting deductive and inductive reasoning. We must go further into the intentions of God. So going further means exploring methods which God grants access to. It also means that there should be a strong sense of fellowship between mankind and God before endeavoring to abstract knowledge from God. You must always possess access through covenant. And then as a result of establishing a covenant with God, you have access to what is precious to him through the knowledge he allots and demands. And it always results in modifications in behavior that stem from this divine illumination. So divine illumination alone will create a strong sense of true inspiration. Secondly, we must begin this process of educating the soul to understand the will of God. Whenever I come to the terms with discussing the soul, of course you know I've done an in-depth study on being sound in the soul, I always bring emphasis to how often people confuse soul conclusion with the spiritual voice. And we must develop clear distinctions between what we hear from God versus what we thought about God, because often that gets distorted. Schooling the soul means understanding how your soul works and how it learns. This is what prayer with God, when it is effectuated with his responses, intend to reveal. Knowledge of state and knowledge of resolve. So God wants us to work through understanding these factors. And in doing so, the will of God is expressed and classified first in what has been written and preserved throughout historical accounts and scriptures. And then once well-versed in comprehension of those scriptures, the Holy Spirit will allot illumination that forms revelation of intent for this content. And that is what we all want to achieve, understanding the will of God. Though it costs all you have in all you're getting, get an understanding. Thirdly, in educating the soul to understand the will of God, then we must go further to emphasizing the empowerment of existing in the authority of God. Existing in the authority of God is the simple resolve to obey, comply, and adhere to what you know God wants accomplished coming. And coming to this resolve is completely just trusting God. Authority is not influencing only. It is a given dominant factor regardless of whether you influence it or not. So all we have that is concrete of the authority of God is the written word of God. That's why we resort everything to Scripture, including all forms of our doctrine. If you have a question or have to question whether or not you are in authority or out of authority, it clearly indicates the state of your authority. Lack of understanding never produces understanding of authority. So therefore, if there's a question to authority, you're 9 times out of 10 out of authority. Often authority is confused with compliance, but authority is deeper than that. It is taking to self one of God's greatest attributes, doing everything in decency and in order. So fourthly, when emphasizing the empowerment of existing in the authority of God, we will equip the mind to resolve to be led exclusively by the Spirit of God. It is the equipping of the mind to deadening selfish ambition first, and invoking God to enable you to perform in his order by his guiding assistance that creates this resolve. Giving proper place to the Spirit must always be esteemed in the heart of those who carry a greater covenant. Training the mind is established in hearing a response to the voice of God, which really can't be done until you observe the Scripture as being truly possible. So, the mind is a communicative device, as you've heard me say often throughout this teaching time, that dictates to the body what it has heard from the source. When you understand the voices of sources versus perspectives and presumptive opinions, the distinction between the Holy Spirit and natural perception becomes ever clearer. Fifthly, from equipping the mind to resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, we are enforcing discipline to the body to live by what is declared in the written word of God. Because if you cannot adhere to what is written, you will not be able to adhere to what is perceived. Living or conducting yourself by what is declared is simply aiming all of your affairs to achieving a known promise or passage of Scripture that results in pleasing God. So meditation upon the Word of God is the activating steps to achieving divine discipline. Prayer again gives God the right to involve himself in the affairs of your life legally, which in turn gives the voice of his Spirit the ability to direct your physical steps. Then this word, which is so key, confession, not only in its sense of speaking, but in its reference to establishing conduct for your life patterns will be based on biblical laws and practice, and it establishes the final authority of God's word in your life. In the successive lessons, we will not only capture this in known doctrine, but give practical suggestions to how we can implement this in our lives and the lives of others biblically. And I want to conclude tonight's lesson by giving you 24 cut-and-dry questions that will shape the construction of the rest of this study. Number one, what is doctrine? Number two, is doctrine important to God? Number three, does doctrine have anything to do with my salvation? Number four, how deep should I go into doctrine? Number five, is the study of teaching doctrine too religious? Number six, do all doctrine apply to the church? Number seven, does doctrine define my relationship with God? Number eight, have I really sat down and been taught doctrine? Number 9, does doctrine define my relationship with others? Number 10, is there a difference between sound doctrine and regular doctrine? Number 11, what does doctrine really bring to me? Is it important? Is it really important? Number 12, is doctrine and theology the same? Number 13, does doctrine define all beliefs? Number 14, is the church established upon doctrine solely? Number 15, am I capable of teaching others doctrine? Number 16, what happens when I reject doctrine? Number 17, as a minister, is it important for me to openly reveal doctrines? Number 18, how can I ensure I am teaching the right doctrines? Number 19, what do I do when I don't fully understand the doctrine and I am in leadership? Number 20, what should I do if questions I find with doctrines are not accepted by the fellowship of my counterparts? Number 21, how should I react and respond when someone has questions and concerns about my doctrine? Number 22, how should I properly minister doctrine when given advice? Number 23, what if I find in the aftermath that my doctrine is not normal? Number 24, how important is doctrine to personal households? These questions and more will be answered in the successive lessons. And so tonight, I pray that you understand the importance of establishing doctrine, which is, again, to obtain the knowledge of God and understand the will of God, which empowers us to live under and exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, which adheres to the declared written word of God. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that is within the world. This is LaVon Breland. Thank you for listening to tonight's lesson.